Hi everyone, and welcome back to the Gentleman's Talk. See, I've been practicing that again, haven't I? I was literally for the last 10 minutes thinking, how should I start today? And that was the result. That was the result of that. So I don't know. Maybe I'll mix it up. We'll see how it goes. It's just something fun to do. Keep me active and thinking. Anywho, here we are, Sunday. It's a Sunday for me, depending on when obviously you're listening to this. But here I am on my weekly reflection. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm just adjusting my music. It was just a little bit too lairy for me. Still is a bit, isn't it? Sort of no happy medium there, is there? It's like on or off. I mean, maybe it's just me. I'm a bit sensitive today. Anyway, sorry about that. Little digression there. yeah, not really feeling it. Not going to lie to you. It's better to be honest. I've pondered for the last 2 hours on whether to do this podcast, but for my own sanity, I think it's really important to stick to the structure, you know, stick to the routine. It's not that I don't enjoy it. I absolutely love it. I as you can tell, you know, my podcasts are all over the place in sense of ups and downs. So I'm really committed to showing this. And I do enjoy this. I do enjoy doing it. I'm discovering loads about myself. I just, for some reason, this weekend's been a bit of a struggle. But I don't want to keep going over this crap in terms. I know what it is. It's to do with the back pain and everything else. It's been about 2 weeks now, and it's just kind of, I'm not going to lie, it's overwhelmed me quite considerably, to be honest. It's just constant pain. I'm living at like a 7 or an 8 in pain. And it's just, it's tiresome. I had a 2.5 hour nap this afternoon, just before sitting down and watching Monaco Grand Prix, which, okay, wasn't too bad, but, you know, I could have easily fallen asleep again. Wasn't the best. But anyway, that's the sport. That's a completely different podcast for someone else to talk about, not myself. so, as you all know, I left the podcast, the last podcast, which is, I haven't done anything since, a little bit sort of kind of upset. It was a kind of an abrupt ending, which was highlighted by a few of my friends. I was just not gonna lie, the topic at the end upset me. I didn't do anything about it because I didn't feel it needed to. I don't know whether I was just overthinking things. So I just let sleeping dogs lie on that one and just kind of, just let it go, you know, and that's sometimes the best thing to do, is let things go. And I know I can take it personally, but I'm trying not to take it personally, because at the end of the day, this is me developing, this is me bettering myself. So little things like that, little comments, take them on board, talk about them on the podcast, which I think is the fantastic way to deal with it, to be honest with you, because talking about it with you and then going in and it gave me the sort of confidence to go in. I sat down with my wife and, you know, we spoke about it and all that sort of stuff. And she kind of went, no, just let it go. It's okay. It's affected you personally, but, there's nothing you can physically do about it because it's one of those situations where I could have gone and complained. And he could have turned around and said he was doing it for other reasons or whatever. He was doing it because he was protecting me, trying to look after me. You know, there's all these spins. And to be fair, that could have been what he was doing, but I've overreacted. So, again, I was trying to suppress. So you can hear the jingly jangly of my gin. My gin and juice. I didn't drink yesterday or Friday. So I thought I'd treat myself with a cheeky gin for the podcast. Little things like that, we have to let it go. And I've spoke about that so many times about my podcast, about letting things go and not harbouring the stress of it. And it's really important. So I'm practicing what I preach internally, you know. but ultimately, do you know what? I'm not going to lie. Coronavirus or something since coronavirus, I have not been right. I cannot get rid of this cold. I cannot get rid of this flu. And I'm in agony all the time. There's something going on. So tomorrow, just before, something I was going to talk about before I digress into this little path. Got all of next week off, so I'm going to smash the fitness. I'm going to be up, out and about. I'm going to steam room it up, go for my long walks with my dog, and I'm going to go down to the beach and go for a walk on the beach. I'm going to do as much as I can activity-wise just to try and see if I can shake this, lose a bit of weight and shake this, especially as I've been doing a lot of learning about the new topic that I was recently diagnosed with, and I've learned so much with that. So, yeah, anyway, that's for later on in the thing. But just to give you this, just to give you a little note on the the crispy voice. It doesn't sound amazing, does it? There you go, trying to clear it. It doesn't sound amazing when you're trying to talk and you have this, you know, croaky throat. But yeah, so interestingly, and you know what? I don't know whether it's because I've been a bit sort of low this weekend, you know, and like I said, I go through these weekends. It's acceptable. I don't, you know, we can't have it all the time as being on point all the time. I did sort of kind of did a bit of DIY the closing part of the week and Friday, so to try and keep myself active that way. But ultimately, you know, I felt a bit low, and I don't know whether because I felt a bit low this weekend, I have ultimately reflected quite heavily this weekend on myself. I constantly do it, and I think the problem when you reflect with yourself for such a long time is you do, and reflecting for such a long time isn't a massive issue, you know, let's be honest. It's more about the fact of what you're reflecting on. How are you thinking? And I was thinking very negatively this weekend. I think negative reactions to a few things that had happened towards the week, the few decisions I'd made, which, you know, have ultimately probably affected me a little bit. And like I said, felt a bit low this weekend. And that's hence the reason why I wasn't going to do the podcast. But I'm denied, and I've gone no, because as rightly so, people have told me, and rightly so, I can openly admit that when I do the podcasts, by the end of it, I do tend to feel a lot happier because I've kind of spoke about my problems and I've got them off my chest, and that's where I've always said to you, this is what the whole point is if I continue to bottle this up and go into next week, I'll continue to be low. I'll continue to feel like shit, and I'll just go, it's not fucking worth it. And that's where I get to. So I just try to keep the routine of the things that make me happy. And ultimately, you know, that's why I'm here, you know, on Sunday reflection time talking to you guys. So, yeah, I left it with the diagnosis of ADHD. And like I said, I told you guys, and my friend Kieran at the time, so at the time I told him at the time as the only people that knew about it. And this weekend I finally managed to sit down and talk to my wife, and sort of explain it to her and sort of show her and present her. Now, I didn't hold off for any particular reason. I think the reason I told Kieran, or I spoke to Kieran about it first, my friend, was because ultimately we spoke about this before, and you know, it was kind of one of those things that it was a passing conversation, and you know, he's instantly supported me on that sense. I think the reason I haven't spoke about it to anyone else at the time, and I didn't until sort of Saturday afternoon, late afternoon, I managed to sit down with my wife and sort of talk to her, and we'd had a good weekend, and it led on to a couple of other things actually that was quite interesting. So basically Saturday morning we sat down, and we were cleaning the house, ready for a boot sale on Sunday, because we're being quite ruthless at the moment, just because there's movement in her job, and you know, she's got this fresh new spark of a start coming up soon, which is going to benefit her greatly, and benefit the household and me as well, because you know, she doesn't she can go out and work outside without bringing work at home, so to speak. So to speak seems to be the word of today for it, so I apologise for that. Seems to be the word that I'm saying, so to speak. So I apologise for this. Sometimes I get fixated on a word, and I tend to overuse it, so I apologise. So we sat down, and we were cleaning, and we were going through the kitchen, and the kitchen felt cluttered, so we had a massive declutter, and then at the same time as that, it sparked into not a major overhaul, but we just went to the cupboards and pulled all the crap out of the cupboards, and you know, I say crap, but there's actually some really good stuff in there, but stuff we just don't use. And I was like, get it on the boot sale, you know, see if you can make a couple of quid that will help improve another area of the house. So we did that, and we were talking away, and I said to her in the morning, I said, oh, I've got something to talk about. And she says, oh God, what now? And she always gets worried when I say that, because 9 times out of 10, it's always been something bad if I want to talk and ask her to talk privately. Because normally I just deal with things myself, or it's pretty obvious something's happened. But she goes a bit sort of funny with that, which I can understand, because every time I've told her and said sit down, it's always been bad news. A mistake I've made, something I've done, I'm not really sure. But so we sat down and went through everything with her, and we kind of went, oh, okay. And do you know what? It was kind of left at that, which was good in a way. I don't think we want to make a bit, mountain out of a molehill about it. But at the same time, the reason I didn't tell her, and she said, oh, I'm a bit upset you didn't tell me at first. And I was like, to be honest with you, I'm in that phase at the moment where I'm sick of talking about my mental health, but to other people. And I don't mean sick of it, because at the end of the day, this is the whole point of this podcast, is to get it out there. But at the same time, it can be, I don't want it to be perceived as this whole look at me thing. And like I said, I was reflecting at the weekend, and a couple of people have made comments in the past and about decisions I've made or things that I've done. And a couple of three, if maybe a few more, I don't know, have said, they probably said it. There's probably dozens of people that have said it, but people have actually said it to my face. And that's, maybe it's you, James. And do you know what? I never really thought it was. But the more you dive into yourself, the more you learn about yourself, and the more you sort of unpick your own thoughts and your own past, you probably understand that a lot of it probably is me. So you'll understand, and I've started to understand that probably is me. Maybe my attitude, maybe the way I am, is because of that. And that kind of got me down this weekend, because I was like, I don't want to be that person. I've been fighting challenges all my life, and I didn't want to be that person. I don't try to be a horrible person. I'm not a relaxed individual. I'm very ambitious, and ultimately that's probably what's caused a lot of my problems over my years, about my ambition and sort of kind of jumping in feet first, which I've done with quite a few things. So yeah, I reflected on that. And, and then at the same time, so we sat down and I said to her, look, there was nothing in it. I hadn't dealt with myself. I haven't researched it. I'm still learning about it. Christ alive. You know, so for me, it was kind of, it was a personal matter, but I didn't want it to affect her in that sense. So, but anyway, we put it to bed, and you know what, we haven't spoke about it since, which is fine. I'm happy with that. I think she's probably got to process it herself. I'd say that I don't really think it makes much of a difference, to be honest. It's more about just because I can deal with it. I mean, Christ, you've got to remember I'm an adult, but at the same time, it gives me the ability to try and learn about myself and see if there's ways I can manage it. And whilst we were talking, so we had a discussion and we carried on. We were doing all of our good stuff at the weekend and, had a fairly quiet weekend, to be fair. Bit of garden work and all that sort of stuff. And then as I was cleaning out one of the drawers, I came across this little bottle. And I thought nothing of it. It is a bottle with a little bit of paper in it, some glitter. And it was sealed. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was going to just chuck it away. And then my wife came in and goes, oh, you can't chuck my wish jar away. And I was like, wish jar? What are you talking about? As I was cleaning out cables and launching shit in the bin that I really didn't need and has been sat there for years. And you think, oh, God. You know, the typical man thing. You swing open the fucking junk drawer and you're like, no, we don't know when I'm going to need that fucking Nokia 3310 charger, or I don't know when I'm going to need, that's a key, but I don't know what that key opens, but one day I'm going to need a key. Do you know what I mean? It's a very manly thing to do. I was going through the junk drawer, I found this and I was going to chuck it in the bin. She said, oh no, what is, she said, it's my wish jar. I said, oh, wish jar, what have you made a wish for? And she went, well, I suppose, I can probably show you now. And I was like, all right. She said, will it affect it? And I went, I don't know. I said, it depends on what you wish for. You know what I mean? If you're wishing to win the lottery, I wouldn't have thought so. But if you're wishing for something that's kind of manageable, it might affect you. But, anyway, so she walked off and she came back and she said, there you go, read my wishes. And I read it, and she says, I wish for James to be happy and the girls to be healthy and happy in their lives too, which was very humbling. To be honest, to feel that my wife, all she wants in her life is for me to be happy and for the kids to be happy. It wasn't even about her own happiness. Such a selfless act to see that. And she even said to me, I know we're not quite, she said, I don't know whether to show you because we're not quite there, but I can see that we're changing. And that was a bonus for me. At the same time, acknowledging that I still battle the shit out of this thing, and it's quite time consuming. It's quite consuming emotionally. And I try to be as best I can. And we've had a fantastic weekend, actually. We just kind of enjoyed each other's company and still do the same things we do. Like you say, I still get my little quiet times, and we went out and did shopping together, which was really nice. And just trying to move forward on being a better person after being away for years and years. So I'm just trying my hardest, you know, but it was refreshing. So I got a little humbled with that, and then, you know, moved on through the day and all that sort of stuff. So, and then that's kind of it, really. It's been, like I say, it's been fairly quiet, but it's been kept fairly, as you can probably tell in my voice, which I don't really mean to, I don't want to bring across to you. But at the same time, I'm exhausted. I'm emotionally and physically exhausted. So it's a little bit overwhelming for me to go to try and keep that kind of whole bravado up sometimes, you know. And I know what it is. I'm not going to dwell on it. I'm not going to go over it. It's the lack of sort of excitement and all these other things, and you know, the just general life struggles. But anyway, fucking move on, Jesus Christ, because it's depressing me talking about it, for fuck's sake. Anyway, right. Pull your finger out. Let me take a sip of gin. Now we've got over the formalities. Ooh. That is fucking delightful. De-fucking-lightful. And now we've got over the formalities. Things I will say. Positivity. Thank you for the new listeners. I have some fantastic new listeners from the Netherlands and a few in America, by the seams of things. Just looking at my stats and telling me where people are downloading. So thank you very much. I hope I'm reaching far and wide with some interesting topics. And again, I apologise for coming across as a depressing 40-year-old man. I don't mean to be, but these are the challenges we all face on a daily basis. And you know, like I said, tail end of the week, I knew this was coming. I had a chat when I was dealing with this other group, and I've had to put it to bed for the moment, which I know has upset one of my friends, which is. Again, I haven't addressed it because I don't want to. I don't know. It's just me, and I'm fighting other things. So for me personally, that is a battle that I'm facing. But that's affecting me. The decisions I'm making all the time, they affect my outcome of my mood. It's horrible. But there's nothing we can do about it. We've got to live and learn, haven't we? So, but sometimes you have to make these decisions to be successful in life. But anyway, so lovely to hear from you people, you guys and everyone from different walks. So what have I learned this weekend? Well, I did a little bit of, so alongside this weekend, as well as doing a little bit of DIY to keep myself active, little bit of cleaning, spring cleaning, you know, ready for the summertime. Hopefully barbecue season is fully upon us and I can't wait. I've done a little bit of designing for my wife's logo, so I'm designing a new logo for her new business, which is, you know, I enjoy the design aspect, so that's going to encompass a few things. And what else do I do? That's pretty much it. And then Saturday night, though, I did sit down and I've kind of learning, and it, to be honest, it some of it is kind of teaching me to suck eggs, the old phrase. But it isn't at the same time. I've learned so much about this ADHD thing, and it's just to kind of try and understand it, I suppose. Not really. But at the same time, what I have done is I'm learning how to deal with it. And this is what I'm trying to hope for. There might be someone else there that, oh, do you know what? I've just recently been diagnosed with that. I'd like to know how to manage it. So obviously, we all know this attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, which used to be known as, I think it was ADD, but I don't know what that stands for, so don't ask me. I have no idea. But like you say, signs and symptoms are struggling to keep up with work, keep up with family or social demands. They can become overwhelming, can't they? And they do present challenges, especially across your adulthood, because most of the challenges that are faced with someone with ADHD is to do with the normal working life, living life, and social life is everything. Whereas when you're a child, you, in your diagnosis of this, you can kind of, you don't have to worry about those challenges of paying bills and making sure you're at the meeting on time, seeming enthusiastic and all this sort of stuff. And I have noticed that sometimes I'm sat in meetings and I'm like, this is fucking boring, and I just switch off because I'm not engaged with it, which is horrendous. And I'm trying to find ways, because I need to how to deal with these. But like I said, I've been learning. I've getting stuck into this. I'm going for a long ass walk this week, a couple of long ass walks, and I've got my book ready to go, which was recommended by my friend, and that book is gonna be my focus on just switching off, meditation, but not meditation. You know, reflection. You know, that kind of mindfulness is the word I'm looking for. So it's gonna be that mindfulness moment where I'm just gonna go learn about this, switch off, listen, and have a go. But I have learned sort of like how to deal, or like looking at tips on how to deal with it. And, you know, there's other things that sort of kind of mainly deal with people with ADHD is inattention or distractibility, which I suffer from all the time. And making organisation, it can be challenging. Although I don't really struggle with too much of organisation, I think I'm overly organised because I'm worried I'm going to forget things. I know that predominantly that is quite a major trait for ADHD, but as I've said rightly so before, you know, I've addressed this and with all the professionals, and they said it's because of your background that you've managed to, you know, deal with it from an early age. Because, excuse me, when you go into coping mechanisms and you go into like how to deal with these things, and this was really interesting for me actually, because like although they say that like organization and like can be difficult from home life to work life, I've learned that there's things you can do that can help you with this. Now this is really interesting, so like I've written these down, I just want to talk to you about them. So they say that like there's four main things that you can do that can help you with your ADHD. Now, bearing in mind, I have these implemented. I've done these because I've learned that these are what help me. So theoretically, I've done it without the research. But you might want to understand yourself and use these and utilize these to assist you. So create a space. It's a really easy thing. And like I said, ask yourself what you need to do on a daily basis. Find certain storage areas or wardrobes or designated specific areas for like your bills and your keys and your receipts, and throw away the stuff you don't need. Now, that's key, because when you come into my environment, now I've got a little log cabin out the back that I was given by my wife, and I've converted it into, like I said, you've converted into a bar, office, and a sofa with a TV. So it's my space, and that's really, do you know, it's one of those things I've always wanted, is my own space. And every time I've had my own space, I've enjoyed it. And it says here, one of the biggest things you can do is create a space. And if you come into my space, you'll see everything's perfect. It's laid out in line. It's uniform. It's exactly as I want it. No one touches it. All of my documents for my work are all in specific labeled folders that have the same font and everything else is uniform with the same logos. And it tells me exactly what's in there. Now, everything in my office is like that in my space, and then the bar space is exactly the same, all uniform. The TV's at the perfect distance that can be seen from the perfect height at the perfect angle. I've looked at everything going, that's where I want it, rah rah rah, and I've done that because that's created that space. And when I come in here, I feel safe, and I know that everything in here is mine and nobody comes in here and disturbs it, so I don't have to come in here and stress. So one of the biggest things is creating that space is to reduce the stress, because you'll forget. So I've done that automatically. Another one is use a calendar app or a day planner. Now, my friends will fucking know that this is how I work. Now, I've been doing this for about 2 years. And before I've even thought about this, I came around this app. And there is other apps available, but it's an app called How About. And I'm still struggling to get my fucking friends to use it, which is frustrating for me. But at the same time, I acknowledge they're all diff. They do things differently in life. I'm personally, I like to be organised because I have to be organised. And I use How About app, and it plans my sort of kind of events going forward. Like, so if someone wants a weekend away or a Friday, or you know, we're going to do fishing or we're going to go whatever, we put it in there and we see if we're all available. Now, I've used it and I absolutely love it because it shows me when my next event's coming up. So I know what's in there. I can plan it. If it's impromptu, I do struggle. I do struggle with impromptu events. If someone said to me, let's go out tonight, I don't think I could, which is why, like, my wife for the last sort of year has always said to me, do you want to go out for a meal today? No, I don't. And I do, because I haven't prepared myself for it. I don't have this ability to just up and go out. I've got to plan. No, you can't just fucking chuck that on me. I'll go there and I'll wolf my food down and get out. Whereas I need that planning process. I need to know what I'm doing, where I'm doing, how much is it going to cost me, roughly plan for it. Agreed. And there'll be people that will go, well, fucking hell, mate, you're a bit spontaneous when you get there. Agreed. When I get there, I'll have a sip of a drink and I want to fucking go party because that's the extreme version of me. But at the same time, I always, every time I go out, I prep as if I'm going out. So I won't turn up to somewhere looking horrendous, you know, or too relaxed. I'll have nice shoes on, jeans, nice top, hair done, smelling nice. Because if it does go, let's go out, I've made the effort to go out and I've planned it. So very much. And I use this similar thing. If you ever look at my planner and my planner at work, everything is color-coded. Everything is written down to a T when my meetings are. And that's how I work. I work and everyone's like, how can you look at I look at the day on my plan and I'm like, no, I look at the month. And they're like, why? I said, because I want to see what I'm doing for the next month. That's how I work. And that's because I've had to do that. And it's just taken over my life because that's how I keep myself happy is by keeping myself organized. And I've learned that that is a way so that I don't forget. As I've spoke to you about traits where, you know, I want a response email back so I know that that's off my head so I can let it go. If I send you a text message, I want a text message back so I know that it's done, moved on. It's just how I deal with things. And I do struggle when I don't get those things back. And that's just me. But I don't expect people to pander down to that. You know, I don't want them to pander down to that. That's not what this is about. Use lists is another one. Now, I do use lists. I write down everything. If I'm going shopping, if I'm going to go away for the weekend, or I'm going fishing, I'll write down a list with all the kit I've got and what I need, make sure it's highlighted. I do it all the time. I go to places and I'm like, right, the agenda is this, this, and this. And that's very much how I work. And again, I've had to adopt that over the years because that's what I realised helps me. And when I don't have that in order, that's a difficult one. But one of the big ones, which for me is a crippler, is deal with it right now. Deal with whatever you have to deal with right now. Now, that is a difficult thing to do because what it does, if you deal with it right now, you avoid forgetting, or you forgot, you avoid the forgetfulness, you avoid the clutter, the procrastination, or returning phone calls, you don't have to worry about returning a phone call, or something in the future. These are big things. And I do that all the time. I say to someone, I'm going to give you a call, and I never fucking call them, because I forget. I do it all the time. And I don't mean to do it. It's not me being an arsehole, but when I'm so fixated on something else, that is me. I'm focused on that thing. When I'm, you know, someone rings me and I go, I'm busy, and I go to ring back, you know, straight away, and they don't answer. That's me. I forget. It's what I do to move on. So, but that's really difficult in employment, isn't it? That's really difficult in life. It's to deal with something straight away. And people are like, why are you doing that now, James? I'm like, you don't understand. I have to deal with this right now because now is when I want to do it, or now I've acknowledged it. I need to get it done. Because I know for a fact that I'll forget. And I've done it countless times. You walk around my house and I'll go, oh, for fuck's sake, I haven't done that. And then I'll forget about it and it's done. I'll walk off and it's done. It's not until, that's why if you see me, I'm like a whirlwind. People are like, what are you doing now? I'm like, no, I'm in my car, like I did on Friday actually. So I was like, I'm going to move the I'm going to extend this new feature I've put in the garden, made it a bit look sort of Mediterranean feel to it, as best as you can get in the UK. But it's working, do you know what I mean? I've done everything painted in dark plum, which is like a almost like a purpley black. So looks very retro. It's not even retro, really. It just looks very, very modern and sleek. I like it. Really does. It sort of accentuates the grass, you know. So I've got like dark plum and black, and then I've got greenery everywhere. So lush green grass. I'm not fucking lying to you. I'm proud of my grass. I have cared for that. It's like a wispy blanket. That's the only way I can describe it. But I've got all sorts of. I've got green bushes, green trees. You know, all sorts. People would be saying, oh, green bush, Jesus Christ, go to the doctor for that. And it's not the type of bush I'm on about. Way! Anyway, so I went out and I was like, oh, I'm going to do this Mediterranean thing and I'm going to carry it on. And I literally went, right, okay, I'm going now. And I had Flexi, so I logged off work and I literally went straight to the shop, bought like 4 packs of wood and the wood I needed and the postcrete. And within 3 hours, I'd had it up and done. Completely crippled me. My back completely bailed on me. I was on the last few strokes of paint. Oh, for God's sakes, Innuendo City, shut up, you violent people. You loony tunes. That's probably just my dirty brain. I was on the last strokes of painting. And my back was like locking and seizing. And I was getting major spasms. I don't know what's wrong with it. But anyway, I did it. I smashed it through. But that's what I do. That's how I have to do things. It's spontaneous or planned. It's not spontaneous. It's get it done right now. Or it's planning things. It's really, really important. You know, if you don't, it's going to struggle, and I do. And one of the other things that came really apparent as I've been researching this is how people struggle, and that was to deal with the organisation. But again, noting that I'm already doing those things, I've already established that that's what works for me without even being diagnosed. And that came out when I was talking to my therapist, and they were saying, you've already done the coping mechanisms that we would have told you. You've realised that that works, and you've kind of gone with it, which is great. But at the same time, when you're governed by that, you can get really upset by your by friends, family, work colleagues that don't adhere to your plan that makes it work for you. And that's where I'm struggling, because I can look at it from a selfish point of view that look, to do this because it will help me, and I'm not thinking, well, actually, that might be putting you out because you're stressed. So that's just what I mean by learning and adapting all the time. But one of the other things is time management. And one of the big things is that some of the tips it says was like plan to be early and set up reminders. Is one of the things I wrote down. So, and it's quite weird. Is write down appointments for 15 minutes earlier than they really are. So, it's really fucking weird, and I'm not lying to you at all. You ask anybody that knows me, but my all of my clocks, apart from the ones that are logged to the internet, so in the one in my car, all the digital clocks around me that are in my workplace, etc., are all set 15 minutes early. So when I get there, if it's say for instance the meeting's at 10 o'clock, I'll be there at 1:45. Now people would think that's a bit fucking crazy, but that's what I do. I've spoke about it hundreds of times in my podcast that I am punctual. There'll be one of my friends that has just laughed his ass off on that, but I am punctual. I am always there, bang on time or 15 minutes early. I can assure you I am. But that was instilled by the military aspect of me as well, when they were like 10 minutes early is 10 minutes late. So I've been instilled, I've had things instilled right through my adult life that has given me the ability to fight some of these symptoms, which I think is probably the reason why a lot of it's gone undiagnosed or unchallenged by myself, because I've already put these coping mechanisms in to deal with that. Another thing as well, give yourself more time than you think you need. And this is really, really important for me because I don't. I always estimate things will be quicker. Because I'm like, get it done. And then I stress myself out massively because I've said, oh, yeah, come see me in a couple of days. I'll have it done for you. And what will happen is I then panic and stress and I put myself under pressure, and that's when I fold. And that's when we get problems. Well, I don't actually. I strive under pressure, but the adverse effects of that is I fucking really tire myself out and you know, sort of kind of beat myself up about things when I don't sort of hit those main targets. But one of the biggest things that sort of, I say this, they're all big things really, but this is one of I've got this sentence here, and this is what is kind of really relevant, I think, to me. And this is where I need to learn, what I need to do. And that is, impulsiveness. Now, one of the things that I always am is very impulsive. So, and what that leads to is agreeing to loads of projects, loads of social engagements, loads of work engagements, loads of work tasks. And what I do is I take it on and I just go, yes, 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 I'm not going to do it. And I will hit them, and I will hit those targets, but I'll always be left in that sort of overwhelmed state or overtired state. And I would like to say that it would normally affect quality, but it doesn't, because I will work 24 hours if I have to. That's where my pride and professionalism comes in. But at the same time, that's where I am now, when I'm sort of kind of beating myself up a bit and my body's slowly falling to bits. It's just because I think I take on too much. I don't like saying no. I really don't. To say no, for me to say no, is quite difficult, in the sense that it does affect me. So of recently, I have been trying to change that ethos, just because I'm not functioning correctly and I'm not looking after my own health. And I can feel there's a decline somewhere around. I'd like to think it's long COVID. But for me personally, it's about just trying to manage expectations of people around me, and also manage my own expectations, and actually saying, no, I'm not going to do this. No, I don't want to do that, you know, or no, I'm not going to do this and make this for you. Because I do always say yes, and I sit there, and then what I end up doing is I'll either sort of chin the project off and just not fucking do it because I'm not invested. And I go, I said yes, I didn't really want to. And, you know, could have saved that people time by saying no at the start, and they would have probably looked at me like I was a piece of shit, which is why I don't like saying no. But at the same time, it would have saved their feelings in the long run. Rather than having the stress of saying no eventually. Excuse me. Oh, God. I got a little dry spell in my throat there. It will sort of stop me from sort of beating myself up and feeling crap at the end of it. But also understanding that that's the way it goes. And I'm trying my hardest to not just say yes to everything, but show that, like, if I can't do it, I can't do it, rather than saying you're going to do it. Because that's one of the biggest things we do, especially people with mental health problems. I think in general, we always, because we all know what it's like to be sad, what it's like to be low, we don't want other people to feel like that. So we go out of our ways to not make people feel like that. However, it's always, always to the detriment of the person's health. And I know that, and I've always said yes, and I try to always say yes, and I'll go there. And even if the situation that I'm in is like, it's totally out of my comfort zone, it's not something I'm interested in, I've said yes because I've gone, I don't want to let that person down and make them feel shit. And they'll be like, is it good? And I'll be like, yeah, yeah, that was really good, mate. I really enjoyed that. Oh, fab, you're coming on to the next one then. And you're like, oh, yeah, 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 mate, that'd be amazing. And then you sit and you build stress up, and then they talk about it, and then you either don't turn up, or, you know, you completely and utterly have a blowout and ignore them and lose their friendship, because you just, that's the way it goes, rather than just going, do you know what, mate, thanks for the offer, really appreciate it, you know, it's not my bag, or, you know, nah, that's not really up my street, or no, I don't fancy going to that place today, mate, nah, I don't want to go to a party, or whatever it may be. If you don't speak your truth and speak your facts, then someone's going to get hurt, whether it's you emotionally and physically because of the stress that you've put yourself under, or the other person emotionally because you've let them down at the last minute and they may have counted on you. They may have required your assistance. You may be letting them down with something was like really important to them. So it's a really, really sort of interesting way of dealing with it. And I think that as I was looking through, it's quite crazy because as I was looking through this, a lot of life seems to be helping us as well with a few of these things. Like I said, I reflect back on the calendars. We have calendars now, don't we? And our calendars are all interactive. We're moving away from paper. Everything can be easily organised online and accessible at any point. That's massively helping ADHD. Online banking now, so you can manage your bills, and it tells you, like, updates. You can set up bill reminders. Like, literally, to the point where, like, online banking has massively made things so much easier. Payments are so much easier. So a lot of these stresses that would have been, which is organisation and stuff like that, it really is being dealt with by life itself and technology. So it is helping us in other ways. And that, for me, is kind of the key part. And that's where I sort of go into that get organised at work feeling. And one of the big things in this sort of category are what I reflect back and I wrote these down. It's like set aside daily time for organisation. Well, I do that all the time. I triage every morning and I triage every afternoon, make sure I've got it. Use colours and lists. Everything in my calendar is colour coded to know what people, like all of the we're called the big six, if you like. So we're the six main compliance areas. So gas, electricity, fuels, etc. So I won't bore you as best off. I nearly did. I had to squeeze it in there. But everyone's categorized in their own color to know what is to do with their profession. So I know that when it comes into the calendar, I've got a meeting with them, what my meeting is going to be. At the glance of a quick glance, I can look and go, oh, it's a Legionella meeting, so it's under blue steel. So I know that it's blue, so it's water. Electricity is yellow because of the I chose yellow because, you know, it's lightning strikes and it's all that sort of stuff. Anyway, go on. But that is how we do it. And I prioritise all the time. So I triage all of my priorities and make sure that I task them in accordance with their importance. And that's just being a good manager, if I'm brutally honest. A lot of this stuff is just being a good manager, but it actually just helps me with my ADHD, or the traits that fall along with it, or even just mental health. I found, aside from the ADHD, I found that these are the methods that help me to combat the PTSD and the lowness, because you're not dealing with the real mundane shitty bits. You've got all that in order, so when that's life's in order, you can take on the challenges of the little things that really, really do affect you. And it sort of brought me on to, you know, sort of one of the big things. Again, they're all big things, we all know, and as I was reading through it, it says, you know, exercise and spend time outdoors. That's such a key important across any mental health problem. It's really important that we exercise daily, get some sort of, you know, aspect or some sort of fun that we like. Maybe it's a team sport, maybe it's getting out and about with your friends, maybe it's just going out for a nice walk in nature. Sort of exercising outdoors has been such a proven thing to do. It's getting out and about, get in the sun, get amongst nature and enjoy those green surroundings. That's why when you look at my garden, people often think, well, why are you doing this? And I've got the moss wall because I love the greenery in it. You look at my garden, it's all greenery. It's all just accentuating colours to sort of stimulate you. And that's really important. Try relaxing forms of exercise as well. And this is another thing. I talk about this all the time. Mindfulness, walking, yoga. These are all things, meditation, reflection, you know, these are all things that I've been doing for the last 5 months, almost into my sixth month, and the benefits are outstanding, absolutely incredible, how they've helped me. So even getting to the point where I'm researching this, and the refreshing bit is I'm researching this, I'm looking through, and I'm going, well, I've started doing that, I try to get exercise. I try to do this, I try to do that, you know, I reflection every Sunday, even though I'm not in the greatest of places today. I was like, no, because you need it, because this will give you that refreshing, it'll give you that fresh start for the week. Put your demons to bed, talk them out. And that's really, really important as well. So, and obviously, when I was looking at this, and they were saying, oh yeah, exercise. Well, exercise is so important for any mental health, and that's why we have a lot of mental health problems. Get plenty of sleep as well. So important. We all talk about getting those. Something I want to talk about, actually, which I think is really important for mental health, and that's the, I think it's called the Arcadian Rhythm. And I want to talk about a little bit of sleep, because I think it's really important. And I know that for me, it's been difficult to get that solid sleep and that continuous sleep, and I do struggle with sleep. I can understand that there's going to be a lot of people out there that are going to be feeling the pressures of no sleep. And how do I get the sleep? And that's something I want to do. I want to actually do a topic tomorrow on sleep and help to how to get involved and just some stuff I've learned over the last couple of months. I think it may help. It may help you to get that. Because if we can get healthy, if we can get good sleep, good exercise and eat healthy, they're the three things that are just good for life in general. And we need to do that. And so I'm going to dive into a little bit of these topics in a little bit more depth, just to give you a little bit of sort of insight into them. But ultimately, everything I've always read, and I mean everything I've read about mental health, every course I've been on, every, you know, CPD course I've been on or whatever, everything has always ended up with this little snippet here, and that is practice mindfulness. As well as, and I write this little thing, so practice mindfulness, and it says here, as well as a reducing stress, regular mindfulness, meditation can help you better resist distractions, lower your impulsivity, that's the word. I can't say it. I'm literally struggling with my own English words. Improves your focus and provide more control over your emotions. Now, that is important across, even at the start of this journey when I'm dealing with my PTSD, it has helped me no end to sit there and go into mindfulness and body mapping and those really good key things that help you to understand where the pressures are. And I do it all the time. I'm conscious now at the moment where I body map quite a lot. It's difficult because I'm drawn to my back, but I do. I sit there and I go, I take this thing every five minutes for every hour. Not a full 5 minutes, but I just look around my body with my mind and go, oh, that's a bit tight. And I just let my shoulders drop and go, oh, geez, they were in my ears. You know, if you've ever sat there and you've been doing something and you can feel the stress in your shoulders and they're up by your ears and you just go, oh, gosh. And the relief is unreal. It's just unreal. Excuse me. But like I said, everywhere I've looked, everywhere I've learned, everywhere I've been sort of kind of researching and learning from, they always finish with practicing this mindfulness. And I spoke about it in other podcasts. There's a whole hour on it. I want to give it more. And these are the little topics I want to dive into just to help promote it. Especially as I find in, obviously as I'm learning about ADHD, we're noting that hyperactivity is a major symptom. And sort of meditation can challenge you as an adult in the best of ways to sit there and go, you know, mindfulness, sat there, quiet, peaceful, the right lighting, you know, and actually go over everything and just go, okay, that can be put to bed. All right, that's not been dealt with. Write it down. And this is what mindfulness is about. Meditating for short periods will gradually increase your meditation time over a period of time, so you become more comfortable with the process. I do know that meditation has challenged me because it's really, really hard to keep focused for a long period of time. It's like when I run a bath. I have a bath probably once every year, and I shower every day, twice a day actually, before people go, you smelly bastard. but I don't. I rarely ever bath. I don't really see the point in them. I get really bored with them. But I enjoy running them and I'm setting them all up. But what I do is I get into the bath. It's really warm, cozy. It's got, you know, Epsom salts in it for the muscles and all the other good stuff. And then I go, yeah, I'm pretty fucking bored of that now. Like 2 or 3 minutes in, I lose that focus. So, and I've struggled with meditation for that exact reason. I sit here and I go, that's why mindfulness for me, I have to have music on and the right lighting to distract me, because that is the only way I can keep kind of in focus, if you like. So I need to practice that more and more, because I do need to develop that inner peace, and I haven't quite got that. So just a broad little overview of some things that can help. This is short and sweet. This is mainly for me. I'm not going to lie to you. This is for me to keep on focus, but I'm hoping I've offered you a little bit of, a little bit of an insight into something that may, like I said, all of this stuff transfers across most mental health conditions, because they're stuff we should be practicing on a daily basis anyway. We should be doing exercise. We should be spending less time with technology, getting plenty of sleep, and we should be eating more, say, healthily. And mindfulness is a really good thing as well. So there's a lot more to dive into with this. But at the same time, it's just hopefully something there has given you a little bit of an insight into, you know, things that have helped me, things that I've done over the years that I didn't even realise have helped me and probably helped me get to where I am now. So you may be thinking, do you know what, I'm a very disorganised person. I'm going to go in and use my, you know, my Outlook and start fucking tidying everything up, getting my meetings going, you know, getting everything structured properly, getting onto sort of more of a technology-based using sort of user-friendly sort of SharePoints and all these sort of things. There's so much good stuff out there that we can really learn from that can help us with the ability to deal with those bigger tasks from your work and daily life and actually give you the ability then to have more time to focus on the challenges like meditation and eating healthy and getting exercise, spending the time. If you're more organized and you save 10 minutes because you're more organized, use that 10 minutes wisely. Get out and about for a 10-minute walk. Go and just stand outside for 10 minutes and just take a break. I know that not everyone has the ability to go for a walk in nature, but just getting outside and being among the fresh air, being among other people and people watching is really, really good as well. So anyway, there's a little insight into you. I'm sorry it hasn't been as enthusiastic as I normally am. Even now I can feel my back because I'm sat in this chair now. I feel my back and I'm getting freezing cold because I'm sat out here. But at the end of the day, this is about consistency. This is about keeping up with routine. Like I said, it's not that I don't enjoy the process. I love this fucking process. I love talking to you people. I love talking. That just brought up a little laugh in my head. What do you mean, you people? There's a film out there. I just said, I love talking to you people. What do you mean, you people? It was a good film, that was. So anyway, completely lost train of thought. It's about that routine though and keeping up, and that's what's important. That's where, when I talk to friends and I talk to family and they say, oh, I did this, and or, you know, I was doing this and this was helping, and they drop off. The reason they dropped off is because they haven't challenged themselves when it really mattered. It's really easy to do things when you're enthusiastic. It's really easy to do things when you know, you've got that motivation. But the biggest part for mental health for me is keeping up with it when you don't have the motivation, when you don't have the enthusiasm, when you are in a shit place, when you are thinking shit thoughts and thinking the world's against you. And ultimately, that's where you sit. And I've been sat there all day. I've literally, like I said, I'm so exhausted. I slept most of the afternoon because I've overthought everything. I don't know whether I'm making the right decisions. I'm constantly overthinking things. But at the same time, here I am now trying my hardest to keep up with it. And that's what's the key point to mental health is when you can't be bothered, when you don't want to do it, it's doing it. Getting out there and doing it. Because that is the challenge. That is how you better yourself. You don't better yourself by going, I'll do it tomorrow. You don't better yourself by saying, I'll start tomorrow. You better yourself by starting right there and then. Or when you, like I said, this podcast, I was like, fuck, I can't be bothered. I don't want to do it. I don't want to talk about. And here I am 53 minutes in. Not the best, not my finest hour. I'm not going to lie to you. But for me, it's about keeping up with the motivation for it so that I can get a good night's sleep. I still feel stressed, so I'm going to try and get a good night's sleep so that I can hit tomorrow as a better day. And like I said, I've got a week off, so for me, it's about challenging my mental health. I'm going to get out amongst nature as much as I can, enjoy the company of my dog. You know, this is the key. The next couple of days are key to him, to see whether this injury comes back, or it was, you know, something he's endured on the day. I don't know. This is the next couple of days because he had his last painkillers this morning. So this week I've really important to sort of spend a bit of time with him. And obviously the end of the tail end of the week is the Queen's Jubilee weekend. So if you're British, you'll be probably celebrating quite hard this weekend coming up. I say this weekend coming up. We're still in this weekend, but the weekend coming up. But yeah, do you know what? I'm not going to dribble on. I'm just going to say thank you. And I'm sorry that this last hour hasn't been my finest hour. Like I said, this is about consistency and keeping motivation. It's really, really key and really important. I hope I've given you something. But tomorrow, like I said, I'm going to talk about sleep tomorrow because I think that's a really important subject to talk about. And I'm going to talk about some ways that have helped me, especially over this last 6 months, to get a more robust sleep plan and actually stick to it. Anyway, I'm not going to go on. I'm going to talk to you tomorrow about it. It's a good topic, and I think it's really important, especially as you age. More and more you need sleep, and it's more and more quality sleep we need to actually rebuild our bodies, because they don't repair as quick as they used to. So there's so many factors that are involved in a good night's sleep. So thank you for listening, and I look forward to talking to you tomorrow. And hopefully this has helped me to fucking bust through it and get you some enthusiasm. So yeah, thank you very much, and I look forward to talking to you tomorrow. Take care, everyone. Bye.